My name is Jeremy Devins, and welcome back to the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast for the Friday forecast. And today I'm going to start by just sharing about something that I think is really important when we talk about going through significant personal growth and transformation. And we'll talk about the transits coming up this week, which are potentials for huge personal growth and transformation, including the Rahu Ketu transit that's happening on Tuesday. I will have an extra special episode just about that. And we are just a couple weeks away from Mindful New Year 2024. So we'll be talking about everything happening next year, all the big events, how to plan for this. What I like to say is you plan your whole year in one day in sync with astrology. And this is the sixth year of Mindful New Year, one of my favorite offerings based on what I've done for many, many years. If you follow me on Facebook, I share about this every year for over 10, 12 years now, that I've been doing this on my process myself of just planning for the year and syncing up with the energies. And as always on this podcast, if you're new, check out quietmindastrology.com. You can sign up for the free weekly horoscopes. I call it the Friday Forecast. Every Friday, I send out an email with write-ups about everything I share on the podcast. So if you want the written out version of this that you can save some notes and just have a reference outside of the audio, that's a great way to do it. And I also share exclusive offers and deals and things there. So it's a great place to just keep up with everything I'm doing with my podcast and Instagram and all this. And we'll be going much more in depth later in the next episode on the Rahu Ketu transit, but we do have some significant ones this week, like Jupiter going back to Ashwini, this expansive energy into healing, Mercury in Mula, communication getting to the roots of our issues, and we'll talk about that and how it affects you. And it's really helpful to know your own birth chart, so you know where Mercury is in your chart and where Mula Nakshatra would be as well in your chart, and Sagittarius, wherever Sagittarius is in your chart, that's where that transit is happening. Or Jupiter's transit in Aries, wherever Aries is in your chart, when I talk about it, you can overlay it over that house that Jupiter is in. So it makes it more personal for you when I don't do the sign-by-sign episodes every week. So what I want to talk about first, though, is just a little bit about what I've been going through. Here you see my background. I'm in a different place in Mexico. I'm at a in-depth retreat. It's about doing deep tissue healing, myofascial release kind of work. And I think this work is really powerful. Obviously, I'm very into healing and personal growth and all this. I've got a lot of eighth house stuff. People with a lot of eighth house stuff tend to be drawn to personal growth and transformation. And that's definitely me. Everybody is to some degree, but some people more than others. But I also have been in the student and provider and space holder and facilitator of many, many of these kind of things. And I'm very grateful to be in what I consider a very well-held container this week and doing a lot of very deep work myself, having a lot of deep emotional releases, things that I would not maybe guess were even in there coming out just from very simple healing techniques, which I'm not going to go into the specifics of all that now, but I will say that I'm extremely grateful for the space. And anytime we get to have a space held for us to do deeper work, there is so much more possible in a container than we could do just going to yoga class every week, which is really great and a very important maintenance kind of thing. But if you want to have significant personal growth in your life, I think it's extremely valuable to have some sort of container for that experience. Now, you might know you want to deepen your relationship to your food, so you go to some sort of Ayurvedic health retreat about diet and cleansing and these kind of things, right? Which is so much more than you could do just by making some dietary changes, which I talked about last week. Just making some simple dietary changes from one session with someone was life-changing and immediately cleared up my pitta imbalance, and I was much more cool and grounded and not sweating in my sleep. So yes, those things are very valuable. But a lot of my biggest growth has happened in these kind of retreat settings or deeper containers, not necessarily just retreats, but having a space held for a prolonged period by somebody who's very good at managing energy and space and time and all the movement of things that happen internally, to allow and facilitate and create space for the healing process. And I don't think it's so much about somebody doing the healing to you or even necessarily you doing the healing to yourself, but that there is the space for things to move, that want to naturally move, But sometimes we block them with fear, stories, patterns, whatever, that now we're holding physical tension, holding emotional tension. We build up these stories and this drama and all this, and now energy is blocked. And we say we want a better diet, but we don't make any changes because the physical energy is just stuck. This is one element. You know, it's much deeper than just that. But we say we want to make more money, but we just keep the same job doing the same thing because the energy is stuck. And if the energy can move, then maybe the external circumstances will reflect that. I think, yes, they always do, in my opinion. And having that energy that's put there through some sort of trauma when you were three, or some continual pattern of rejection as a teenager, or whatever the issue, it's not just going to necessarily move in just one session at a yoga class or one meditation that you do, or even not even necessarily in a daily practice, which I've had some version of a daily practice for a long time now, and things are always moving and shifting there. But again, nothing really compares to being in a container. So this is something I just want to share this week about just really feeling and embodying and experiencing the power of the container. The things that I've moved this week are just would never happen in my morning practice, would never happen in a just general public class. It's part of the space that the facilitator is holding, which is really beautiful, and the energy of the group and the processes we're doing to create space for that. So this is a big part of what I do. You know, I create spaces in my mentorship program, my yoga teacher training, and my Mindful New Year is a smaller version of this. It's a workshop. I lead retreats, not recently, but I will be very likely next year leading some retreats. So these spaces are containers of energy. And when we talk about this word container is used very often now in like spiritual communities. I remember first hearing it and thinking it was very weird. About 10, 15 years ago or whatever. And it's really true, though. There's no better way to describe it. There's a beginning and end, and there's a sort of wrapped around feeling that you're in the space where you can work on these topics, so these things that are coming up. And if we never have that, if I've never had that, like never did teacher training, never did retreats, I would probably be very intellectual. I'll probably base everything I'm doing on what I read in books, maybe going to some classes every now and then, and not have much embodiment and not have much actual physical experience of these kind of things, because that happens in those containers. And I would probably have a lot more shallow sort of self-awareness and perspective of others as well. Because in those containers, also, other people go through their stuff. And you see people have crazy releases or emotional breakdowns or dramatic experiences. And that is healing everybody in the space. And it's not just my container. It's the group's container. And there, of course, there are one-on-one containers as well. One-to-one programs, very valuable as well. But what I'm experiencing this week is a group. And it's just incredible. Like somebody will have this super deep, vulnerable share, crying, expressing. And it's exactly what I feel, exactly what I would say. And they said it, and I don't need to say it, but I resonate and I feel the same way. And it's speaking to this thing that, yeah, that's in me, and I didn't have the words for it. And they had the words or the expression or the emotion for it. That can only happen, again, in a group. And I get to see this, very honored and grateful to see this in the Vedic Astrology Mentorship. I'm in the middle of almost in the last month now, but this group as well, and the fears of like, who am I to be an astrologer? How do I read this chart? What if this happens? These are all totally normal, and everybody can relate, and we all can kind of hold each other in this, and people in the group can support each other in this. But you're not alone, right? And then you have this sort of thing holding you up of like, maybe I'm not good enough, maybe I should quit. But then you've got like 10 peers saying, no, that was great, that's awesome, keep going. And you really resonated when you said this and that. You know, and there's a sense of being held up in the container, in the same way like a container holds together like your leftovers or whatever you put in it, water. You know, you put water in a container and it can stay there. And so when you put people together and you put your energies together in this container, now you've got a space, you've got boundaries to work with, you've got these shared experiences to go through and your own personal experiences to go through. And It is important that there's a facilitator that you trust and feel safe with. You know, this is very important in this kind of work because it's very vulnerable and intimate at times. Whatever containers you do choose to be involved in, it's very important that you resonate with people holding it. I've been in containers where I didn't resonate, and I quickly felt that and knew that and just left. So this is not for me. Thank you for your time. It's just not resonating for me for whatever reason. And someone else will resonate. Or maybe the facilitator wasn't, you know, fully on or in alignment with what they're offering or whatever the reason. It is very important that you, when you choose this, that you find people that you resonate with. But so much of what I talk about on the podcast is about transformational work. So many of these transits, you know, I'm giving suggestions every week of this transit's happening. Here's how you can work with it. Maybe you want to seek this out. Maybe you want to try that. And going into some sort of container around that topic is usually going to be the most profound, lasting, life-changing transformation you can do. I could say it's a great time to learn astrology. So you watch a YouTube video and then another one and you just go back to life, right? And that's one way of doing it, and it might be interesting. And maybe it's just not, you know, okay, I get it, that's not for me, or whatever the topic is. But if you're like, oh, this is great, I want to go deeper, you can read books, this is good. You can try to figure things out on your own, that's fine. Or you can find somebody who's gone through their own transformation, and then they can guide you into your transformation. And that's always the case, right? The person holding the space at this retreat has his own mentors, and they have their own mentors. And it's a sort of endless chain like this. Of the only way you can really create a transformational container is to have experienced that transformation and know how to hold others through it. So if you are wanting, if you feel drawn that maybe you want to be a yoga teacher or you want to go down some sort of path, it's very, very helpful to find somebody who's already 5-10 years ahead of that. They had that same desire 5-10 years ago, and they're doing it now. And very likely they could create a container mentorship program. Even if they don't offer like some sort of class, you could just ask them, like, I've done this. I thought about being a physical therapist years ago, and I just found somebody I knew, I trusted, who's been doing it for 20 years, and I just started asking him a bunch of questions. I was going to shadow him, but by that point I realized it wasn't for me. You know, so if that were the path for me, I would have basically been in a one-to-one mentorship with him in that container and learning and growing. But I realized that wasn't quite what I was looking for. So you can just ask somebody that you respect and resonate with. You can find teachers who are offering things already that resonate with you. Just Google searches are wonderful. You can find things. Ask friends, communities. But as I share these things this week and every week, especially as we go into this Rahu Ketu transit on Tuesday, it's a huge shift. It's the nodes shifting for the next 18 months. We're starting a new 18-month cycle on Tuesday, which we'll talk about in the next episode. So we'll go deeper. We'll talk a little bit today, but we'll go really deep next time, and sign by sign as well. But that will be a time where you may already feel it. It's like something big is shifting. Something big is shifting. And I don't like to be too vague about these shifts, because that's very easy as an astrologer. You just say, there's some big shifts happening. We'll talk about the specifics of it. But you may feel that a big shift is happening. And if you are wanting to go deeper into a specific topic, find a container to do so. It could be a year, a month, a week, 6 months, a lifetime. there's really no rules to how this looks. It's a very organic thing. It's very close to like the old-fashioned apprenticeship. It's how we learn stuff. And through that, you know, it's the best way to learn. This is mirror neurons. It's like you see them do it, your brain is sort of absorbing the same information, right? Even non-verbally, even unconsciously, you're absorbing like just being around them. I very much believe this. There's not all that's very scientific, but it's 100% in my experience. Just be around people who are doing and have the things that you want to do, and you will do and have those things too. It's just a matter of time. And that's useful for any topic, whether it's relationships, health, money. You know, I always talk about health, wealth, relationships, purpose, the four main aims of life. If those things are going well, life's pretty good. So we'll talk about some of the specifics going on this week and go into the astrology. And starting on Sunday, November 26th, we have, see Jupiter up here is retrograde. And it's going from Bharani Nakshatra in Aries to Ashwini Nakshatra in Aries. So as Jupiter's been going backwards through Bharani the last couple weeks, Jupiter, the planet of our teachers, wisdom, expansion, and growth, back to Bharani, this nakshatra that represents portals between worlds, transformation. It's the sexual energy, the energy that creates life, the symbol of the yoni. Jupiter's been going back through there, bringing us deeper understanding of our own personal growth path. And this is all in Aries, of course. So things that we've began many months ago, we're coming back to and learning on a deeper level. But now, on Sunday, November 26th, Jupiter will move out of Bharani and further back in retrograde into Ashwini Nakshatra. Ashwini is one of the most healing nakshatras, symbolized Ashwini, the horses. There's a whole mythology of this. Essentially, it's a healing energy. I'll just leave it at that for now. It's not necessarily a horse energy, but there is that sort of Aries aspect of it, where if there's something that you started many months ago you want to get back to or go deeper in, it's kind of like a slingshot right now. So Jupiter is going back in Ashwini for 5 weeks from November 26th, and then it ends 2023, going into 2024, like the slingshot now going forward in Ashwini. Jupiter, expansion, growth, wisdom, and Ashwini in Aries, the horse energy, full speed ahead into 2024. So basically right now, the next 5 weeks, great time to be going back and do any kind of healing things to do. Anything you started at the beginning of the year that is unresolved, we'll do this at Mindful New Year. You can join the waitlist now at mindfulnewyear.com. Details on how to register will be coming up very soon. It will be in person in Austin and online, two options. But that's part of what we'll be doing in that work. But what you can be doing now is like this Jupiter going back in Ashwini, reviewing the past year. What have you started? What's transpired this year? And how have you learned about yourself? How have you grown? And now how do you want to use that going forward, like the slingshot into 2024, that horse energy, full speed ahead. It's really powerful. And as you see, Rahu has been with Jupiter here for a while, through most of this since April. And that will be no longer the case after this week, after Wednesday. So Jupiter and Rahu together, yes, it's expansion and growth, but Rahu is a malefic energy. It's an obsessive energy. So it's like, yeah, as much as you wanted to grow in 2023, there may have been some malefic energies that block you. Maybe some things that feel like you're stuck in kind of rumination, not growing in the way that you expect, or some illusory elements to this. That will be removed this week. Where now Jupiter is just in Aries and Ashwini until April of 2024. And that is a great energy to just go full speed ahead, whatever you want to start, make a new venture in your life, especially if you're entrepreneurial, very, very positive energy. New habits, new routines, new teachers in your life, new spiritual path. Lots of new beginning energy from basically January 1st through the end of December, but basically from the new year until April 2024. Very powerful forward momentum beginning energy. And that's starting this Sunday, November 26th. Ashwini, the star of healing. Good time for introspection. Again, the next 5 weeks, introspection, self-improvement, spiritual insights, inner reflection. Time for renewing, revising your beliefs and philosophies, maybe going back to old texts that you like, old spiritual texts. I always love the Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, the Tao Te Ching. These are some of my favorites I come back to a lot. There could be some risk of feeling lost spiritually in this energy in the next 5 weeks. Some potential setbacks in your personal spiritual development. Maybe, not so likely with this. And there could be some resistance to growth. You might be having some clinging to outdated beliefs. Again, that's where something like a container, space to work through those things is super valuable. We can't do it all on our own. Can't do most things on our own. you couldn't shower on your own. Try getting water and, just take away your shower and try to recreate that on your own. There's so much that we are interdependent on, but what we can control for sure is our thoughts and our actions. So we choose our thoughts, then we choose our actions. And if you notice that you're feeling kind of stuck in your thoughts, not getting the movement and the actions that you want, that's where having some sort of support or container for support could be really helpful. It could be some self-doubt and hesitation over this 10-week cycle, the slingshot kind of metaphor I talked about. And then, the other big piece of this, the Rahu shifting, we'll talk about as well in a moment. But also on Sunday, November 26, Mercury moves into Mule. See Mercury down here in Jyeshtha Nakshatra and Scorpio, which I talked about, I think, last week or the week before. Go forward towards the end of this day, November 26. There we go. Mercury just moved into Mule. And as always, if you're new to the podcast, this is stuff you can see with your own eyes. It's right what's happening in astronomy. We see it on the screen as this chart, because this is basically like a circle. It's squares because it makes it a little easier to see some things. That's the South Indian style of chart. But this is what's happening in astronomy. Mercury is moving into Sagittarius. You can see it with your own eyes. Very different than Western astrology, which is based on the seasons and not where the planets are currently. So Mercury is in Sagittarius and Mula. Mercury, the planet of communication and business, commerce, trade in Sagittarius. Also philosophical, wise energy like Jupiter we talked about. Jupiter rules Sagittarius, very similar energy. But in Mula Nakshatra, Mula is where the galactic center is. So if you actually look for it in the sky, that's where the center of our galaxy is. And that's why it's called Mula Nakshatra, which means root. It's the root of our galaxy. And when people have Mercury in Mula Nakshatra in their birth charts, they're often very good truth tellers, sometimes to a fault. These people who just need to say the thing. And you're in a group and they will be blunt, they'll be direct, they'll be very clear in what they think and feel and their opinion about things. And oftentimes they are accurate. But there's so many things that are dynamic and malleable and changeable. So it's important, if anyone listening has Mercury in Mula Nakshatra, that you don't become too rigid in those beliefs. Or if you have multiple planets in Mula Nakshatra, this is a possible risk there. So for transits, as we all get to experience what this is like, Mercury in Mula, which happens every year, this is a time where we can have some deeper truth telling for ourselves and others. You can look where Sagittarius, the ninth sign, is in your chart. If you get the chart on my website, quietmindastrology.com, you'll see the number 9 on your chart. That's Sagittarius. Mercury is there for 13 days, just 2 weeks. So Mercury moves fast. But it is a time to get to the truth of the situation, get to the root of the matter, and talk about it. Financially, get to the root of your issues financially. Look at your numbers. If you don't have some sort of budget or spreadsheet, I highly recommend this, just to be on top of it. I'm a Virgo rising, though, so it says more about me than anything else. But I do think there's very valuable to have some sort of awareness about everything in your life, including your wealth and your money and your assets. And it's such a fast-moving thing that it's easy to lose that awareness. So with Mercury in Mula in Sagittarius, it's a good time to get to the root of your budget, your finances. Are you subscribed to stuff you never use anymore? Are you wasting money on something that's not that important to you? Do you really want this certain other lifestyle, but you can't afford it because you're so busy paying for stuff that you don't actually love and care about? These are all good questions to consider at this time. And then on an even more sort of direct level in like relationships, there's always things to talk about in relationships. And sometimes unspoken things that need to be spoken about. And it may be a little less intense. Mercury is now out of Scorpio, where it can be a little deeper and more intense. Sometimes just more sexual and more sensual in Mercury and Scorpio. But now it's in Sagittarius, so maybe more philosophical, direct, shared values, shared beliefs. If there's some disagreement on this or a negotiation around this in relationships, that could be helpful. And on your spiritual path, talk about health, wealth, relationships, and purpose. Purpose, to me, is both work and spiritual path, which says, again, a lot about me. I'm the astrologer here, but it's very much both of those things. But I do think everybody, when they're in their purpose, it is a spiritual path. And it is this sense of, you don't feel like you're working. You don't feel like you're really doing anything. It's coming through you. You know, and this happens in every field, art, music, science, math, whatever. It's not just astrologers. So talking about purpose, you know, getting to the root of what do you really want to do? What do you really like to do? If you had all the money and all the time in the world, what would you be doing with your time? And these are important kind of questions to consider or meditate on and get to the root of, and don't dance around it. You know, Mercury in Mula is very direct. A lot of political people have this, and they just need to tell you their opinion about it, you know? And that's useful in a lot of contexts, but it also can be a detriment, of course. But on a personal level and purpose level, that stuff does require a lot of level of discernment, because if you don't, you'll just kind of fall into the box of, yeah, you go to school, you go to college, you get a job, you save up, you retire. And nobody ever talks about you're supposed to enjoy the process, you know, and find what you love and do that, and then you don't feel like you're working at all. So it's more like play. And Mercury is also about play. Mercury is the childlike energy. It's the creative, childlike wonder. Just like, wow, I get to be alive. Amazing. You know, the odds of that are very low. So we move on to Tuesday, and that is when Ketu and Rahu change signs. Much bigger deal, because this is an 18-month cycle, not a 2-week cycle. And you just saw right there as I click through the days, November 28th, Rahu moves out of Aries up here. Ketu moves out of Libra down here. Next day, now Rahu is out of Aries into Pisces. Ketu and Rahu always go backwards through the signs, just as the precession of the equinoxes goes backwards, right? So this is why Vedic astrology is 23 degrees behind Western astrology. That's how time moves. That's how our relationship to the stars moves. Time doesn't move backwards, but it's how the relationship of Earth to the stars and everything else moves. And that's why people who are born, they say, I'm an Aries in Western astrology. They're very likely a Pisces, and they're talking about their sun in Western astrology usually. So they're likely a Pisces because it goes back 23 degrees. And that's a lot of that whole long-term cycle is tracked through Rahu and Ketu, the nodes of the moon. So this begins a new eclipse cycle, a new 18-month cycle of three eclipse seasons we'll be going through. We just came out of the last eclipse season several weeks ago. I talked about that, a lot of episodes on that. It's a big deal. You know, the eclipses are every 6 months. So we've got just under 6 months until the next one. Just came out of one. Eclipses are the big turning points in the year. We make big life changes, whether we go willingly or unwillingly. Those changes happen. And they have us go through big portals where you can't go back. You make a decision and now you're in this new phase of life. That's what happens with Rahu and Ketu influencing it every 6 months through the eclipses. So they're huge players in the story of our lives. And now as they move, Rahu out of Aries. Rahu in Aries, a passionate, driven energy. We've seen a lot of huge technological breakthroughs in the last year and a half since it's been here. A lot of new innovations, especially in AI, at the same level as the innovation of the internet. You know, it's the internet. Last time Saturn was in Aquarius, 30 years ago. AI, Saturn's back in Aquarius right now, until 2025. And the AI, the effects of AI will not be really realized until like 5-10 years from now. Just like the internet. Like in the 90s, everyone was like, oh, cool, internet cafes. Whatever, you know, but then like by the end of the 2010s, it's like everything's online, you know. So AI is like this. It's going to be everywhere and everything all the time, like 5-10 years. So as we're moving towards that on a global level, I like to focus on what's happening personally. Rahu going out of Aries has been time where you can have a big personal revolution in the last 18 months. A lot of huge personal growth. Lots of inspiration to just like try new things, be a new person. And now it goes back to Pisces, which is much more spiritual energy, much more watery, getting out of Aries. So Rahu, the passion, the drive, the north node of the moon, it's where we are driven towards in this lifetime, getting back to Pisces and Revati Nakshatra, the smaller division of Pisces. Revati is a very wise, wealthy energy. I'm not just talking about money, but like wealth of information, wealth of experience. And Rahu here brings this drive and passion to experience a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of experience, a wealth of the transcendent experience and purpose. You know, talk about purpose or moksha in Sanskrit, liberation. Pisces, Rahu in Pisces is very much that energy. It's a very powerful place to do psychedelics, transformational work, meditation, go on retreats, tantra, sexual practices. You know, this is all deeply, profoundly transformational. 18 months of this, you know, it's a very interesting time. So on a personal level, also you want to look where Pisces is in your chart. So if that's in your first house, it's a huge personal growth time. If you're Pisces rising or Pisces moon, if that's in your seventh house, it's all that stuff applies to relationships. So I will talk about this on the next episode in a couple of days, go sign by sign. So I'll get into those details. And if you don't know your sign yet, go to quietmindastrology.com, get the free birth chart. The Vedic birth chart will be different than your Western chart. This can be one of the most healing, profound times of your life because K2 is moving into Virgo in Chitra. K2 is the south node of the moon, represents our past life karma, what we come into this life with. And on a global level, it's the cutting away energy, the spiritual energy. So as you listen back through like my COVID episodes, talking about 9/11 and these like big world events, Rahu and K2 are huge players in those things, in different signs, not these signs we're talking about here. But Rahu and K2 are like big world-changing energies. And K2 going into Virgo brings this huge drive and awareness towards health and wellness to the world. And on a personal level, it can be one of the most healing 18 months of your life. It's not going to be here again for 18 years. You know, 18-month cycles every 18 years. So last time it was here was 18 years ago, which if you can do 23 minus 18, 2005. So that's the last time this transit happened. Go back to what you were doing then. For me, I was really getting into my healing path for sure, and health and wellness. All about like supplements and GNC. I worked at GNC for a little while. This is the place that I knew where I could learn about health the most. So that led me to yoga and meditation and everything else. But yeah, so we're going kind of through this cycle again, like where we were 18 years ago. Deep healing, transformation, personal growth at whatever level you're aware of. Like I wasn't aware of all this other stuff back then. I knew about GNC. So I was like, you guys hiring? I want to talk about health all day, you know? So that's what I did. But whatever level you're aware of this, maybe a good time for retreats. I mean, it is a very good time for retreats. Also because Rahu's in Pisces, but also because K2's in Virgo. If you're not too into Ayurveda, really good time to get deep into Ayurveda, know your dosha, prakriti, your vikriti, create a dinacharya, morning routine. If these words are all foreign to you, good, go get the book of Ayurveda by Judith Morrison. That's my favorite book on Ayurveda for beginners. Really well done. I especially like the older version, I think the first edition. Again, I'm a Virgo, so I'm a nerd. But so Ayurveda, very good at this time. Enhanced intuition, ability to see beyond surface appearances. You can go really deep in this stuff. Maybe drawn to more monastic, minimalistic spiritual lifestyle in this 18-month cycle. Amazing time for self-awareness, self-analysis, inner reflection, journaling, meditation. And again, find a container to do this stuff. It might be container hopping. You know, you do like a 6-month Ayurveda thing. You do a 5-month mentorship thing. The most important thing is you just find someone you really resonate with and it's like, oh, they've got something I want, or they know something I want to know, or they've had an experience I'd like to have, or you don't even have the words, you just know. You know, so really, really good stuff, in my opinion, this transit. You know, sometimes the Rahu Keti transits are more intense and dramatic, like I mentioned. It's like COVID and 9/11 being triggered by a Rahu Keti transit, a very different one than this. It's actually basically the opposite of the transit that triggered 2020 and 9/11 and Chernobyl and all those things I went back through in the past. This is like basically the opposite energy. So rather than like this global crisis and everything shuts down and the world seems really scary for a while, it's like the opposite of that. It's like this global health renaissance and the world seems very inspiring and there's a lot of potential and a lot of capacity for healing in the world. You can let go a lot of old baggage. You want to be careful of too much isolation, getting lost in your head, feeling disconnected from the material world, overanalyzing things, being too critical, just basically too heady. You know, you can get very heady with this energy as well, try to figure it all out. This is much more in the realm of imagination, dreams, ideas, and ideals, and possibility. I love the Henry Ford quote, "The person who thinks they can is right, the person who thinks they can't is also right." So that's very much this kind of energy too, Rahu and Pisces. A lot of possibility. A lot of possibility. So that's Rahu Ketu. That's what I'll say for now. I said a lot more than I thought I would. But there's even more. There's a lot more to say, especially looking at historical transits and what it means and like what you can expect. And then looking sign by sign. That's where we get really detailed of like, okay, yeah, personal growth, all this stuff sounds good. But it's a lot more specific when you look at the house it's in for you. So we'll talk about that. And if you want to jump ahead, you can just go back to my episodes and archives on the houses and put it together yourself. I like to teach you how to be your own astrologer on this podcast. So just take everything I said and apply it to the house that it's in. And then the last transit of note this week, as we wrap up, is Venus in Libra on Wednesday, November 29th, the next day. You see Venus has moved out of Virgo, where it's considered debilitated, into Libra, where it's in its own sign. Very harmonious, beautiful energy. Now Venus in Virgo gets a bad rap because we call it debilitated. But it just means that it's a good time to be analytical about your relationships that we've been going through, to understand them better, to be more curious, and also, on the very positive side, to do a lot of healing work in relationship. And that's something I've been very grateful to experience here, is a lot of deep physical healing. And Venus, this sensual, loving, touching, nourishing, beautiful energy, and Virgo, of being very analytical of like, this is the muscle, this is the joint, you push here, you feel this, you press this way. You know, that's one of the best uses of Venus in Virgo, like learning a art, or it could be dance. Like, you step here, then there, and you turn this way, and that, you know, this kind of artistic, analytical approach. But now Venus in Libra, as I talked about on the monthly podcast, a monthly episode, so I'm not going to go very deep right now, but it is very harmonious, very beautiful, improved relationships, increased ability to create art, very good for romance, sexuality, sensuality, dating, just enjoying the senses, good food, good music, aromatherapy, wonderful, wonderful energy. And that's a great way to end out December because Venus will stay in Libra through December. So again, just to summarize today's episode, we talked about at the beginning the importance of containers. You know, if you want to go through some sort of personal transformation, be in a container around that topic. It's one of the best things you can do. I think one of the most important things you can do. We talked about Jupiter retrograde going back to Ashwini, the star of healing, profoundly healing time, kind of like a slingshot into the new year, going back over what worked well this year, reviewing it, and then going forward, huge potential into the new year, basically whatever you want to start. And then we talked about Mercury and Mula on November 26th, communicating, getting to the root of the issue. And then the big one, Ketu and Rahu changing signs on Tuesday, November 28th at 2:59 p.m. Pacific, if you want to get specific about it, right in the middle of the day for us in the West. And that's a big transit, big healing energy for the next 18 months. And then finally, Wednesday, November 29th, Venus in Libra, a lot of beauty and harmony and love and relationships and relationship type things and arts and artistic expression. And that is our Friday forecast for the week. Stay tuned because I'll be posting a new episode before the Friday forecast, going deeper into Rahu K2's transit because it's such a big one. And we're talking about Mindful New Year 2024, which will be happening in Austin, Texas. More details coming on the next episode. And registration will be open on Monday for that as well. So you can join the waitlist now at mindfulnewyear.com. And you'll hear about the in-person and the online version. You pick whichever one works best for you. If you can be in Austin in early December, I'll be hosting it there at what I basically consider my alma mater, where I did the most of my training. So it's very special for me to be going back to what's now called Flow Yoga in Austin, Texas, in Westgate. And it used to be called Yoga Yoga, but now it's called Flow Yoga, and I'll be teaching there in the same room that I used to teach and practice in for many years. So it's very special to me. And if you can be in Austin, awesome. More details on this on Monday. Join the waitlist at mindfulnewyear.com. And if you enjoyed the podcast, take a moment to leave a rating and review. It really makes a difference. And share it with a friend, because astrology is more fun when you can talk about it with friends and nerd out about it and look at each other's charts and talk about how the transits are affecting you. So thank you for listening. Hope you have a great week, a couple days before I share again. And look forward to sharing more with you next time on the Quiet Mind Astrology Podcast.